The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
While Jesus was speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers appeared outside wishing to speak with him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside asking to speak with you." But he said in reply to the one who told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. Well, today we celebrate a very special feast day, the feast of the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this vestment, which I really like, just in case anyone asks, this vestment is not blue, because blue is actually not allowed as a liturgical color in the United States. What it is silver and gold with a certain blue hue to it. Okay, so if anyone asks, Father John did not wear a blue vestment. I have to tell you a story about this feast day. It was like the second to last week of seminary. I had gone through 8 years of seminary, and we had this big comprehensive exam for this additional degree I was going for that required a few extra courses and this extra oral exam, and basically there were four priests, four professors on this exam board, and one of them, their job was to just drill you on scripture, the other one on morals, and the other one on systematic, and then the fourth one was this Dominican priest who was allowed to just ask you whatever he wanted to, and you had to know it. And he got to go last. So I made it through the scripture, I made it through the morals, I made it through the systematic. And then this Dominican priest asks me, "So, tell me about November 21st, the presentation of Mary." I'm thinking, what kind of question is this? Little did he know, however, that as part of our seminary preparation, during your third year of seminary, you give these little fervorinos. They're not homilies because you're not a deacon yet, so you can't preach yet. But during your third year at evening prayer, you give a little presentation on the feast of the upcoming day's feast. And just the way it had fallen a year earlier was that I was assigned to the presentation of Mary. So I knew all about this feast. And I was thinking, this is providence here, because I mean, otherwise, if I hadn't given this fervorino a year before in the presentation of Mary, I don't think I would have known the first thing about it, other than, well, it's on the calendar and we celebrate it. But it is a very unique feast day, and I think this is why he kind of wanted to bring it up and kind of glean from it certain Mariological truths. And it is a very unique feast day for this reason. Well, for many reasons. The first is that it's not mentioned anywhere in Scripture. Now, that hasn't stopped us before as Catholics, because we have Scripture and tradition. And in fact, Scripture came out of tradition. So we don't bind ourselves to just what happens to be written in the Bible, because we put together the Bible based on what had been passed down to us. So it's not in Scripture. But the other reason that makes it kind of weird is there was no history of women, of children, of female girls being presented in the temple. Remember, Christ was presented in the temple 40 days after his birth, and that was part of the Mosaic law, that the first boy to be born of a family would be presented in the temple 40 days after his birth. And it was also tied into the ritual purification of the mother and whatnot. So we celebrate, of course, Christ's birth, and then 8 days later, we celebrate what we used to call the circumcision of our Lord. That, I guess, didn't sound very nice, and so now we call it the Feast of Mary, the Mother of God. But that was originally, because that was 8 days after he was born, he was brought to the synagogue to be circumcised. But then 40 days after he was born, February 2nd, we celebrate the Feast of the Presentation of our Lord, otherwise known as Candlemas. It has a few other names. So there was a history of male children being presented in the temple 40 days after their birth, but there was no history whatsoever, as far as anyone's been able to find, of female children being presented in the temple. And yet, this has been passed down to us. This very feast that we celebrate today has been celebrated since the 6th century in Jerusalem. So there's something going on here about this feast, and this is what I want to talk about real quickly. This feast tells us once again that there is something very unique about the role that Mary plays in the life of the Christian. And it kind of falls into a whole chronology of feasts. For instance, we celebrate her conception, her immaculate conception. Now, again, that also, there's also no history of that having happened before. But so Mary was conceived without sin. We celebrate that feast. We celebrate her birth. We don't celebrate most saints' births. In fact, most saints, we celebrate the day they died, the day they entered into glory. Mary, we celebrate her birth. We celebrate her conception, her birth, and then here, her presentation. And I know I've mentioned to this crowd before, I forgot what feast it was, but I remember it was here at the monastery. I had mentioned about the proto-gospel or the proto-evangelium of St. James. And that is not part of Scripture, but is generally considered to be quite historically accurate. And that document does talk about this presentation. It basically says that when Mary was about 3 years old, her parents brought her to the temple in Jerusalem. Of course, there was only this one temple. It wasn't, synagogues you had in every town, but the temple, there was the one temple in Jerusalem. They brought Mary to the temple to present her back to the Lord kind of in thanksgiving, because remember, her parents, Anna and Joachim, and by the way, those names, Anna and Joachim, are only given to us in the Proto-Evangelium of St. James. Those two names are also nowhere else in the canon of Scripture. But it's said that in thanksgiving for having this child so late in their lives, they thought that they wouldn't have children, and then, of course, here comes Mary. And so in thanksgiving for that, tradition says they brought her to the temple to present her, and that she lived in the temple. Tradition tells us that Mary actually lived in the temple until she ended up being betrothed to St. Joseph and moving out of the temple. But it's this wonderful tradition, because what it tells us again and again, as the other feasts have also told us about the Blessed Virgin Mary, is that there was something special about her, that she was to play this special role in the redemption of mankind, that from the very beginning she was set apart. And the fact that there is no history of female children being presented in the temple all the more testifies to the special role that she would have played. That from the very beginning she was set apart. She was conceived without sin, so that from the very first moment of her existence in her mother's womb, from the very first moment of her existence, there would be no sin. And then, of course, she is born and then presented in the temple and kind of saved to be one day this vessel to carry our Lord. And then I just want to wrap up with this gospel, because this gospel can seem kind of inappropriate for a Marian feast, because it might sound like our Lord is kind of bashing the role that his mother plays. Here I've just talked about how great a special role Mary has, and then our Lord is saying, well, who is my mother and my brothers and my sisters? You would think that our Lord, when someone comes to him and says, hey, your mom's outside and wants to talk to you, you would think our Lord would say, okay, put everything on hold and go and talk to his mom. But what does he do? He says, well, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And he kind of points to his disciples and says, these are my brothers and sisters and mothers, all of the people around him, following him. And that's why he says, whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother. And the point that our Lord is making here, he's not trying to downplay Mary's role. He's not trying to say that nothing is special about Mary being his biological mother. What our Lord is saying, rather, is that what is most important about the Blessed Mother is not that she happened to be the biological mother of our Lord, but that she did the will of his Heavenly Father. And that's something that all of us can share in. All of us cannot have that special role that Mary had as the biological mother of our Lord, but each and every one of us can be Christ's brother, sister, mother, whatever, by doing the will of his Heavenly Father. That's something that any single one of us can do, and that's what Christ is giving a certain preference to. He's saying, yes, she was my biological mother, and he honors her as such, but he's saying what's more important is not that she happened to be my biological mother, but that she did the will of my Heavenly Father. And not just that she did it, but that she did it perfectly. And that she now goes down in history as being the best Christian there ever has been and ever will be. The best follower of our Lord, the best disciple, because she did the will of our Heavenly Father perfectly. So today, as we celebrate this feast, let us ask for the intercession of the Blessed Mother. And let's ask that we too, like her, may do the will of Christ's Heavenly Father.